Хөрхөн охид trap сонсон. Trap сонсон trap донсон. Түүний сонсон хөгжим дур булаан. Дагаж дуудан дур булаа мууруулаа.
Hey everybody, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter, wearing my monster shirt from Kevin Randleman's Wrestling Academy, which was awesome. Once again, shout out to Kevin for making the UFC Hall of Fame. So happy about that. I want to thank our sponsor, Speedweed. Marijuana is legal in California. Get it delivered right to you. Speedweed.com. They will take care of you. Speedweed.com. Mention Roasted, you get $10 off, $100 or more. This guy Gino is an awesome human being. He takes care of fighters. He's good people. Also, Shang is joining us. And then we got Phil Davis coming on. NCAA champion, Bellator champion. I think the most underrated fighter in MMA. He's right there. I mean, the dude has wins over Glover Teixeira. He's got huge win over Lyoto Machida. Right. I mean, a prime Machida. He's got lots of wins, and his losses to Ryan Bader, I thought he beat Bader twice. That was a weird fight. So we're going to have him joining us. I also want to thank our new sponsor, Manscaped, okay? Manscaped. Listen, people, support for MMA Roasted is brought to you by Manscaped. Who is the best in MMA's below-the-belt grooming? They're the best, okay? They offer engineering tools for your family jewels. They have best. Over their technology developments to provide you with the best tools for your grooming experience. Okay, listen, I'm telling you, women don't want you to have a giant Afro 70s bush down there, okay?
They don't? And
no. I mean, maybe your women do, Shang. I could tell that you
don't. No, my women don't.
Some freaky Erykah Badu type women. But most women now, they want you to be groomed, okay? Not totally shaved, but just groomed, okay? And Manscaped's got you covered. Because sometimes you'll be shaving your nuts, you get nicked, and then women think you have herpes or some kind of a thing down there or some kind of weird sores or you have corona dick or whatever it is, okay? And it's not good. It's not good, which is why Manscaped has redesigned their electric trimmer. The Manscaped engineering team, they spent 18 months perfecting the greatest ball hair trimmer ever created. It's called the Lawnmower 3.0. I use it, okay? I'm telling you, my balls have never felt better, never felt cleaner. It's waterproof. You can do it in the shower. That's when you want to do it. And millions of balls are now about to be nick-free thanks to Manscaped Advanced Skin Safe technology. How great is that, okay? And they got an LED light. So that shows you where you can go, where you go. Because you don't want to get nicked down there. Okay, you don't want to have little cuts. It's not good. And then it's a lot of blood, too. It looks like you're on your period. This is bad. It's just bad for everybody, okay? Okay, trim that junk of yours. You get 20% off free shipping, plus free shipping, 20% off plus free shipping. Use the code ROASTED20 at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. You get 20% off and free shipping with the code ROASTED20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code ROASTED20. Your balls will thank you. How's it going, Shang?
That's just a great advertisement for balls.
Yes.
Yeah. No, man, I've been watching. I literally last night, I watched about maybe 4 Bellator, and they're pretty good. I don't know. UFC got bigger hype, but, man, they had great fights. Great fights.
Bellator's biggest problem is the promotion, is the actual promoting them. Because they'll have like 3 fights in a weekend. They won't tell anybody. They'll be in England or Israel. The time's all screwed up. You don't know if you're supposed to watch the app or you're supposed to watch this. That. But the actual fights themselves and the fighters themselves are awesome. Like they do a really good, you know, and it's a shame. But you know what? They'll get it together. You know, I mean, that's a good problem to have. You know, it's I'd rather have that than a great promotion, but you see shitty fights, right?
Yeah, so, that's true. That's true. But and the fact that you got Mr. Davis, Mr. Wonderful, that motherfucker is no joke. I text you. I mean, it's weird. Like to have a submission win, then a knockout, then a submission win, then a knockout by head kick. Then it's like the resume of a MMA fighter that you'd want. That's the resume you want. Like, did he just knock him unconscious? Did he just choke him the fuck out? It's like, that's what you want, man. And I just think that he's not as he's not pushed as much as I think he should be.
Oh, 1,000%. They bury him on cards. Like, I'll go, well, who's on this Bellator card? And then I'll be like, oh, some girl from Hooters is on, and this and that. And I'll be like, Bill Davis? Bill Davis is on? What? Like, I'm like, this is – what's going on here? But let's – before we get to Bill Davis, let's talk about some MMA news. All right, so there was a rumor. There's a fake Ariel Helwani person on Twitter who's actually pretty funny. But he starts fights and then gets people interested in these fights. And then people are, like, actually talking about it. So he said he announced that Conor McGregor was going to fight Usman July 4th weekend. So he puts that out, and everyone starts retweeting this, right? And then to the point people were hitting me up. I'm like, dude, look, it's not the actual Ariel Helwani. But then Usman responds saying that he's going to shag McGregor. He's going to leave him in his – he's going to kill him, this and that. And that's a good fight. I'm like, you know what?
You face actually,
yeah, because I don't know who wins.
I think Usman's too big.
Well, it's a 170 fight, right? McGregor just fought at 170.
Yeah, but I mean, it's the difference. Usman is, you know, this is not Nick Diaz. This is a whole different ballgame when it comes
Nate
to wrestling.
Nate Diaz.
I'm sorry. The two of them. I meant to say Nate Diaz. But well,
here's when I think it's a good fight, Chang. Is when I don't know who wins. When I go back and forth on who wins is when I go, because all right, yeah, yes, okay. I think Usman is better all around.
His wrestling's no joke.
His wrestling's better. Maybe his grappling's probably better. But you have that McGregor factor. That McGregor usually, I would even say in the Mayweather fight, when the spotlight's on him is when he shines. The only time he hasn't shined was when the Khabib fight against probably the greatest MMA wrestler of all time one of them.
And then he did get tapped out.
By Nate Diaz, right? But
He stretched him out, and then there was nothing he could do.
But that was a short-notice fight. He was supposed to fight someone else that week. I think it was RDA. I think Nate fought that fight on, like, a week notice. So he didn't really – there wasn't, like, a huge buildup. You know, it wasn't like – like, when he fought Aldo, and they had
– doesn't that give more props to Nate Diaz?
Yeah, but I think that in some ways McGregor has this ability to get in people's heads. Like, when he fought Eddie Alvarez at Madison Square Garden.
When
he fought Nate Diaz the second time and they had that huge press conference tour. When he fought Aldo. I mean, say what you want about McGregor. The guy steps up when like the lights are on him, right?
But no, the only time I think he didn't get in someone's head was Floyd Mayweather.
But it was too much of a disparity. It was too much. He had too much of a learning curve. He's not going to all of a sudden beat the best boxer of all time.
No, I'm saying, but like even forget the boxing's out of it, that mental warfare, it seemed like Floyd was like, okay, whatever.
He was out of his element. No matter how good McGregor would have fought that day, he's not going to beat Mayweather in boxing.
They made a lot of money.
He did as good as he could have done, though. I mean, he went, what, ten rounds with him?
Nine rounds, but by the fourth round, he was getting kind of
knocked around the ring. It was his first boxing match ever.
It wasn't his first boxing match
ever. Yes, it was.
No, it wasn't. That was his first professional boxing match in that kind of form. He had boxing matches before that.
Okay, his first professional boxing match.
Well, he shouldn't have. Well, I mean, everybody knows it was a money grab. I'm just saying, I've seen him get in people's head, and it just seemed like Floyd was like sitting there like, okay, whatever.
But no, you're right. He wasn't, but no matter what, okay, but and when it comes to mixed martial arts, which is what he is, he's a mixed martial artist. When it comes to like big stage events, the only person that really was able to beat him was Khabib. I mean, I'm not talking about the fight he had in Cage Warriors, the losses then, or the first Nate Diaz fight. And the first one, he had a full camp, full press, was Khabib. And Khabib arguably will go down as the greatest mixed martial artist of all time. And Conor was coming off like a 9-week coke binge. And look like
Well, no, I think that Justin will give him.
All right, so let's break down though. But let's break down where he can beat Usman, right? Because if he lands the same punches he landed on, Colby Covington landed on Usman, if McGregor lands him, Usman's going out.
All right. He'll sleep.
Yeah. So Usman's not going to fight that kind of a fight against him. He's going to fight how he did against Woodley, where he's going to get him against a cage, grind him, wear him down, beat him up. He's going to fight that fight, right? But it's an interesting fight. It's because you have that X factor. McGregor's a star. What, you think Usman all day?
I think Usman all day because Usman, I think that McGregor has shown his wrestling. I mean, he could definitely defend takedowns, but his wrestling's not at the level of Usman. His wrestling's not at the level of a lot of people. And I think that if it stands, he could knock Usman out. But I think Usman's going to be smart and not do that shit. That'd be dumb. You know, just like people who stand with Ngaio. Like, what the fuck would you stand with this dude and he's knocking people's asshole through their fucking eye? Like, that's just, like, I would, like, Cormier was like, why would I do that shit? I'll take him to the ground and I'll wrestle the motherfucker. And that's why I think that anybody that fights Conor McGregor after seeing how Habib just fucking mauled him, they'll go, oh, just fucking out-wrestling.
Yeah, but, I mean, Chad Mendez was a, four-time.
That was short notice.
Yeah, and he's also a 145-pounder.
Right, exactly. You can't count
Eddie
that.
Eddie Alvarez is a good wrestler. Couldn't do shit against him.
You're foolish. Come on, man. I mean, McGregor, I'm not saying McGregor. McGregor's the truth. It's the truth. But I just think that anytime there's a really high, like some either a grappler or a fucking really good wrestler, he's going to have problems, especially going up 170 for somebody that's their natural weight. And you got to go up to that weight. I'm telling you.
He didn't look very fat. You see him at 170? He looked amazing.
He looked, yeah, but still, you're not going to be as fast. You're just not. He's fast.
Ween Dog, what do you think, Ween Dog?
McGregor versus Usman at 170?
Yep.
All I know is anytime I've ever wanted McGregor to lose, he's always won.
Same here.
And I'm kind of like, I've become a McGregor fan over these past couple of years, you know.
Really?
After the Mayweather fight, I've become a fan of his, even though it's like from the dollar through the window, all that crazy shit. So I'm going to be rooting for him. So just because I'm rooting for him, I think McGregor can win that fight because I'm not rooting against him. But in reality, I think Usman wins 99.5 out of 100 times against McGregor.
I don't know. I mean, but Usman's been rocked before. Colby rocked him a couple times.
Colby rocked him 3 times.
A lot of guys have rocked him before. They just haven't capitalized it. McGregor's one of these guys. He sees blood. Oof.
He's a beast. You're right.
I also want to see McGregor against Ali Abdelaziz again.
Oh yeah.
Because that's the manager. You know, the guy who he's when he mentioned the guys. Kid that he wasn't taking care of, that even happening, and called him a terrorist, and yada yada.
The fight that I would want to see is Street Jesus. No, I think that he would take it to him, Street Jesus, and I would say McGregor.
Yeah, that's a good fight too. Although Street Jesus has lost a lot. I mean, we're talking, you know, it's.
Well, lately he's been looking like a fucking world beater.
Lately, he has. You're 1,000% correct.
Yeah, that vacation he took or whatever, he came back more as a killer. And he also, that going to the judges shit went out the window. He started knocking motherfuckers out. He started, you got to think about it. When you look at the history of the UFC or MMA, his clip is going to be the clip people are going to see knockout. That knockout was crazy. Fucking flying beat, went 30-something seconds. That shit was – and then what he did afterwards was fucked up, but still, I thought it was fucked up.
And people are going to say I'm wrong, but if Ben Askren would have not taken that 2 years off after 1FC and went right to the UFC, I still think he would have been champion. Like, he would have –
You really do?
Yeah, he was just – I mean, he was undefeated. He was beating everybody. And it wasn't like he beat Diego Lima. He beat Jay Haran. I mean, that was a close one. But he beat a lot of guys.
Robbie Lawler was still – people still questioning, even though I think that Robbie Lawler was out.
That was a weird one. I was there. That was just –
But Robbie Lawler was taking it to him and up to that point. So I just think somebody – like. After you get starched like he got starched.
But that was after 2 years off. Ben took 2 years off. Like, that was – there was a time when Ben Askren – and I mean, he got cut from Bellator because he was the champion and was boring. and was just beating everyone up wrestling. And Bellator just cut their champion. They just said, you know what? You're boring.
I still think, when does that ever happen, man? Come on, 2 years, I get it. But you know, I've seen people come back.
But he did 2 years with no striking. He did. He left his camp. He brought his camp to his house. He wasn't at Duke Rufus anymore. It was a different Ben Askren. The Ben Askren. I mean, this is all a what if, and people are gonna think I'm crazy. And there's no way of proving this. And yeah. Well, let's talk about real fighting. Okay, Vanderlei Silva versus Mike Tyson. This is retarded. No, that's supposedly bare knuckle boxing has offered Vanderlei Silva $10 million to fight Mike Tyson. Vanderlei has accepted. Now that everyone's waiting on Mike Tyson.
Mike Tyson's 53 years old. This is retarded. Why are they doing this? What, you gonna punch him in his colostomy bag? This is bullshit.
But have you seen him though? Have you seen the way he looks?
I've seen the clips.
He's jacked.
I'm gonna have to pause one. It's the cable people.
Is Phil Davis here? Phil, are you here?
There you go.
Phil Davis, put on your video. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah. Do you see Wayne Dog, explain to him how to put the video on.
I think you have to leave the call and then rejoin, but make sure your video is turned on. I don't know. I've never called into the show. There should be an option maybe if you're on a smartphone.
Yes.
I thought this was audio. That's why I was like, when I saw
No, I want to see your, I want to see your beautiful face, Phil. All right, so leave the call, come back with a video.
All right, cool.
All right.
I'll have it all.
This is very professional.
Do you think Mike Tyson?
No, it's not. It's just
Do you think Mike Tyson would even do bare knuckle boxing, or do you think he'd actually want to do with
the
gloves
on?
For $10 million, I think he would do that in a heartbeat.
Mike Tyson for $10 million?
I mean, first of all, the rounds are 2 minutes long. I think the shorter rounds, and the concern would be that.
Been there, done that. I get it.
That he breaks his hand in the first minute of the fight, bare knuckle boxing. Because you know Tyson's gonna be just throwing bombs, and he might break his hand early. Like they'll have to tell him, like, hey, you know, don't punch as hard as you can.
That's not gonna happen. He's a savage. He's one of those guys. I think one, Mike Tyson shouldn't do it. I saw Holyfield training. He needs to just fucking lay down and take some Metamucil. I just think they both need to stop. And Tyson still got money, so it's not the money.
But who do you think wins?
Vanderlei.
Really? Over Mike Tyson in bare knuckle boxing?
Mike Tyson all day. Even the 53-year-old Mike Tyson, at least from the footage I saw, if he hits you with one of those in your noggin, your brain basket is gone to sleep. I'm sorry. That motherfucker looks still like lethal as shit. And so that's hilarious watching you do this, because I know Adam, I've done it twice. Changed diapers. He knows. And now Cameron, my son, is like 6'2" and grown, and it's weird.
I know. I'm actually gonna like take that part out though. I don't want people telling me that there's a naked baby, and I'm like, this is like baby pornography or some fucking weird shit that's going.
Why is he showing a naked baby? What's going on?
I don't need that thing. So you think Mike Tyson? I mean, Vanderlei Silva though has been in the gym. Tyson's taken 15 years off. He hasn't really hit anything in a long time.
No, he's been training. He's been training, but not the same level.
So you think that he knocks out Vanderlei Silva cold, bare knuckle boxing?
The way he at least the footage I saw, he looked fucking seriously vicious. Like if he hit you with one of them. No, look at the footage. Everybody, if you go to Mike Tyson's Instagram, there's footage of him just hitting the pads. But it looks like if he hits you in the body with one of those.
Yeah.
But
that's 15 seconds long, though. I mean, it's a 30.
But even speed-wise, even the way Mike Tyson moves, Vanderlei doesn't have that savvy. That especially if it's just boxing. If it's just boxing, it's a wrap. Even though he's 53.
Wayne Dog, who do you think wins in bare knuckle boxing? Mike Tyson or Vanderlei Silva?
Well, are there steroids involved? Because that's a big factor in this.
Oh, Tyson's definitely on something. You don't, at 53 years old, get to that.
You don't move like that.
Right, yeah. Then Tyson's going to win.
Vanderlei has hooves. What are you talking about? He's a, you know what I'm saying?
He's also on steroids.
They're both on steroids, so fuck it. Who cares?
Why don't they just do Mike Tyson versus Francis Ngannou? That'd be sick.
What?
That's a real money fight.
That no, well, fight. I...
Well, they said Tito... Well, it was supposed to be yesterday. It was Tito Ortiz. It was Tito Ortiz versus Mike Tyson in boxing. Now it's bare-knuckle boxing. Vanderlei. It's like every day it's a different...
It's changing. It keeps changing.
All right. So this week we got... what's his name is fighting this week?
Gilbert Burns versus Tyron Woodley.
Versus Gilbert Burns. Ooh, I think Woodley's got this. I think Woodley's got this.
I think Woodley's got a fire under his ass, and he's going to come out and murk this dude.
Yeah, I think so too. Gilbert Burns though is no joke. On the ground, if it was a grappling match, Gilbert Burns all day.
But I think you know Tyron, that motherfucker can punch.
Yeah, that's where I think. And I think that, you know, Dan Hooker knocked out Gilbert Burns. And, it, you know, so I still think,
and
yeah.
Tyron's not bad. Like, he looked weird when he fought Usman. It didn't. Yeah. He seemed like he was off.
Totally.
But I'm telling you, if from what the interviews I've seen, the way he's been training and the things going on in his head, I just think he's got it. That chip has gotten turned into a whole chocolate chip factory. That motherfucker is, I think he's going to be like, I'm going to show you, and I think he's going to knock this dude, you know, put it this way, his soul's going to leave him. I really do think it.
I'm excited for it. I can't wait. So the next 5 weeks in a row, they're having UFC fights, which is also crazy because there's a ban from Brazil right now. So the U.S. is not
going to be from COVID, yeah.
So there's like 30% of those fighters from Brazil next 5 weeks. What are they going to do? Why is no one talking about this? I don't know.
Maybe a lot of them are already in America. Like Amanda Nunes is in America.
Yeah, a lot of them moved to Florida. A lot of Brazilian fighters are in Florida. Denver.
Yeah, but a lot of them aren't. A lot of them aren't.
Right.
So, I was excited. Sean O'Malley is fighting Eddie Wineland coming up. UFC 250. That's a good fight.
Sean O'Malley is always exciting. I mean, I'm a fan of his, so.
Yes. This week, this is a good card this week, actually. A lot of people are like sleeping on the card, but it's actually.
Well, no, I think Tyron's still, even though some people don't like his attitude or whatever the fuck, which I think is bullshit. I think he's right to ask for more money. I don't know why people give him shit about that.
Now, what do you think of John Jones, though? John Jones saying that he's leaving for a couple of years because he's willing to fight Ngannou at heavyweight, but the UFC is not willing to give him more money. Now, what I said yesterday was anybody else, I'd say, you know, if you're a company man, like a guy like Tyron, like a guy like, you know, Daniel Cormier or a Glover Teixeira or guys that have just, you know, always Frankie Edgar. But John Jones has been a problem for the UFC, whether it's been hitting a pregnant girl and leaving the scene of an accident, coming back, getting your drugs.
Constantly testing positive, losing his belt.
So I think that if it was another sport, he would have been asked to leave. Like in basketball or football, they might have just cut him. All the shit he's done. Boxing, they would have let him keep fighting. Phil, are you here?
The image is there, but he's not there yet.
Hold on, let me see. Phil Davis, asked to start video. All right, here we go. So that's the thing where I think his negotiating is a little bit off. It's not like he's like a guy like Bisbing, who they asked Bisbing to fight next week. He'll fill in. Well, you know, a guy like that, whereas Jones is like literally breaking, the whole country's on lockdown. He's going around shooting guns and drinking beer while driving. Like, and now he wants more money. And also he barely beat Dominic Reyes. I mean, barely beat him.
I think that was, it was on the fence for me.
I thought Jones won, but it wasn't like they should rematch. Yeah, right. So at the same time, if he's going to fight Ngannou at a heavyweight, he should get more money for that. He should.
Yeah, because of the brain damage. And also, you got to give him, you know, lollipops to suck on because for a while here, he's not going to be able to eat. I personally think he's going to get – if he fights heavyweight, this monster, he's going to have a problem. I just feel like he got too much power, at least from the last couple fights I've seen. I know that John Jones is one of the best to ever do it or the GOAT. I disagree with that completely. I think that GSP, to me, is one of the best to me. Like, he would be more in the conversation than John Jones.
I think Fedor is there.
Are you serious? Really?
Fedor beating prime Mark Coleman, beating Krokop. The list of guys that he just ran through. I mean, right. The problem with, like, the GOAT, right? Here's the problem with the GOAT, because, like, it's not only, like, how – it's like, is you go by career-wise or do you go by a five-year span, right? Because if we're going to go by, like – if we're going to go by, like, a five-year span, right?
Right.
Then it's like, okay, then we put Fedor there, right? Then you put, like, GSP there. Then you put Anderson Silva during his reign. But Anderson Silva had 6 losses before that reign. So you go – if you go all time, then you go – right now you go Khabib because he's never lost. So it's
– No.
I mean, so far –
you got to go during your reign. And I would say – okay, people always debate with me about this. I don't give a fuck. GSP, to me, is one of the best, period.
Yes.
I would – absolutely. Anderson Silva, when he was top of his game, was murking motherfuckers. The Rich Franklin fight was bananas. Like, it was bananas to me. So I say him for sure. There's a lot of people that they sleep on. But I – Mighty Mouse.
Yeah. Phil Davis. Mighty Mouse. Phil Davis, who's your greatest of all time?
There he is. What's up, Phil?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Greatest of all time?
Yes.
Or in this conversation – other than you, because you've been murking motherfuckers.
Thank you. Man, I love Chuck Liddell. Chuck Liddell, man,
what?
When he was on top, he was really on top. Let me see, who else? I can't deny Demetrius Johnson. How many title defenses has he had?
Too many.
Like 13.
Was it 13? Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Stupid.
And he was doing amazing shit. How do you jump up to an arm bar in midair? Like, who the fuck does that?
Yeah.
I just think that Mighty Mouse would be.
I mean, do you put John Jones in there? You have to, right?
No. Because
of the steroids, right?
No.
Is that because the steroids take away, like, after post USADA yes. John Jones versus pre USADA John Jones? Yeah, right? I mean, so you got to go clean, you got it right, and then. But wouldn't you put Khabib in there? I mean, he's never lost; he's beaten everybody.
I don't see why not. I mean, I love Khabib. I'm in his corner every time he fights. I mean, to put him in there with Mighty Mouse, GSP, you know, even in the conversation with John Jones. I mean, he's great. He just hasn't had as many title defenses. He's on his way.
You also have, like, quality of opposition, right? Because he hasn't fought the guys GSP fought,
right.
John Jones fought.
But if he were to retire right now, I would say, you know, okay, I'll put him in that conversation. Because, I mean, right now he can't fight, right. You know, everybody. He just can't. So I'm not going to fault him for that. But he's had some injuries. He's been out. He's beating everybody he's gotten his hands on. And so, like I said, if he were to retire right now, which I hope he does not, but then he would be up for that talk. But as of right now, as he's still currently fighting, I'd say he's on his way. He's not there yet.
Really?
Fedor? What about Fedor?
Fedor's definitely up there.
You really?
Yeah. I mean, look at the guys he's beat.
Fedor's beat. I mean, pretty much everybody.
Yeah, yeah. But the problem is once they lose, then they lose a lot, and you forget how good they were when they won. That's
right, right.
That's the problem, is that you're remembering Fedor versus, you know, Bigfoot Silva. But
Okay, that might be it.
The strike
force, even Anderson Silva, when he fought Stylebender, even though he lost the fight, it was a good fight.
That was a weird fight.
It was a weird fight. It was a lot of
– It was interesting. It was interesting for sure.
It's like a sparring match, I thought, kind of. Now, Phil Davis, how are you doing? What's going on with you?
Yeah, fuck them.
Man. I'm doing all right. I'm laying low and doing the best I can. You know, we're in interesting times right now. We got all sorts of craziness going on, man.
Are you training?
I'm training right now. I'm training once a day, kind of going in the gym, doing bag, and doing mitts. Pretty much an empty gym, just me and my coach. And then in the evenings, I'm doing cardio, getting some mean runs in, and that's really it. It's just a little. I have no fight booked yet. I have no date yet. And the risk versus reward is just. It doesn't seem reasonable right now to mix it up further than that.
No, I think you're the most underrated fighter in MMA, honestly.
We were talking about you, yeah.
Because look at the guys first of all, look how good Glover Teixeira looked. And you beat Glover pretty easily. Were you surprised how Glover looked against Anthony Smith, by the way?
Yeah, you know, he had kind of a slow start, but once he got going, man, he got going. Went to town, man. I'm a fan of the sport, so I celebrate these guys, both Anthony Smith and Glover Teixeira. So I was really glad. I mean, they both had a great performance. Obviously, Anthony Smith, he's still coming up, and he's still got a lot to learn. You know, sometimes you can get to these big fights and you feel like you've arrived, but he's still coming up.
Right? Do you stop the fight?
Probably.
Yes. Now Dominic Cruz, your boy, your best friend, you guys are if they were going to remake a movie from the '80s where like there's like the cop, the miserable cop versus lethal weapon. You know, I would say you guys would be great. Was that fight?
Except he's Danny. He's Danny.
Oh, he's Danny.
Yeah. I'll know.
But that's because you hate Jews.
Exactly.
But now, do you think that fight was stopped too early?
So early. Now, granted, like you said, I'm biased. I would say definitely an early stoppage. But did I think it was fair? Yes. Did I think it was safe? Yes. If he, you know, that call, I don't have a problem with it. You know, I don't have a. There's times where really? I'm like, man, huh? Here's the thing. Like I said, I'm biased, number one.
Right.
And number two, I did think it was early.
What are you doing?
We can go through the history of early stoppages.
Right.
Like, when you got guys like Cain Velasquez versus Junior Dos Santos.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Ref by the best ref there is,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
And that, you know, like, I'm like, yo, I remember I was watching the fight, and I was tweeting the whole time. I was like, yo, you got to stop. Somebody's got to stop this fight.
Right.
Somebody seriously got to stop this fight. This is not good.
Those are heavyweights, too.
These are heavyweights.
Yeah.
Like, a grown man is not supposed to take that many hits from another grown man. Right. Like, if I was taking that many hits from like a 3-year-old, somebody got to do something to that 3-year-old.
What Dominic was also upset about was he was a foot and a half taller than Cejudo, and he's like, "You got some little kid fucking hitting me, and you're stopping." like in his head, don't you think he was like,
yeah.
Like because when he got up, you saw how much taller he was than Cejudo, and that's
yeah.
why my
yeah.
father him was like, "What are you fucking kidding me? This is like my little brother giving me a noogie," you know, like
because he stood up, he put his yep. hand out, he was coherent. He looked at him like, "What are you doing?"
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And when he got against the gate, and it was a couple times, I was like, "No, don't get me wrong, Cejudo was putting in work, but it wasn't
yeah.
like it wasn't like he was wobbling all over the place or some shit." You know what? I'm one of those people, when you're watching it, I jump off the couch like, what the fuck?
It was a good knee, though. That knee was good, though.
It was good, and it was nice and square. Like, it didn't, like, graze him. It connected.
Yeah.
And, you know, you really kind of got to factor. You cannot separate those two. Like, yeah, he got hit with some fast rabbit punches that probably didn't hurt him. But that knee, definitely stuck him. And, I really err on the side of caution. Like, if, you know, him being my friend, do I want to see him take more punishment? No, absolutely not. So if the ref stops it, I'm fine with it. But at the same time, I'm like, they're compared to other fights.
Yeah.
That was super early.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But
but definitely not into the, you know, like he was trying to screw me over range. Like, I just thought it was like,
but he said your call. Like, he smelled like cigarettes and alcohol and pussy.
Did you smell the cigarettes? He didn't say pussy. But did you smell that?
You just thought those three go together like that.
It just sound like it's a clue.
Chang, very funny comic, Chang. I don't know.
If oh, God.
He's Comic View, and he was on, you know, everything back in the day, and still. So that's, by the way, one of the funniest dudes. Now, Phil, were you in the octagon when he fought him?
No. I was at home.
Oh, so you couldn't smell the cigarettes? You couldn't validate that?
I can't validate any of those claims. I know that ref. He just kind of, he seems like, you know, he's, I don't know.
Okay.
But, you know, here's the thing, though. You just got to, like, it give it more time. Dominic's gonna look back and be like, "All right, you know, like, I might have went." He may never apologize. I'm gonna tell you that right now. Dominic Cruz, he may never apologize, but he may say,
"It was a good knee. He got me."
Maybe I went a little hard on him. You know what I'm saying? Maybe I went a little hard.
I don't know. I don't know about that.
You don't think so?
No. I mean, yeah. I've seen people when they stop is where I go, "Please stop it," but. And where somebody's getting wobbled, or you see, literally see their eyes rolling up in their head. He was coherent as fuck. And to me, it's like, not that I want the fighter to be hurt. I'm saying, some people really do have that mentality. Okay, if I'm going to go out, I'm going out on my shield.
Right. Well, I heard, what do you need, baby? You up here? You want to watch? You want to listen? Okay, you can listen. You know, I heard Dominic say, you know, I talked to the ref in the back. I told him, don't stop the fight till I'm knocked out, which I would say too. However, it's absolutely not up to me or him when the fight is over.
When the fight's over, right.
It's just not. That guy has one job, just one, and it's keep the fighter safe. That's it.
Right.
That's it. And he's trying to, you know, do the best he can to keep the fighter safe. You know, his job is not like, okay, this guy asked me to let him go until he's knocked out, so I'm going to give him more time. That is actually bias.
Okay, right.
You have to keep a firm, I'm going to keep everybody safe at this level. You know, if I feel like this is endangering anybody, I'll stop it. I'll call it. You know, I'll step in. So, here's the thing. I really wish the fight could have gone on. I feel like it should have gone on.
Right.
But I do not have a problem with it being called early. Like, I can't. Like, it's one of those things like, you know, ground rule double. Well, you know, you really should have got a triple, you know? You really should have. But, you know what I mean? It's the game. I got to give you a double, you know?
Let's talk about you because
I wanted to ask him a question, but Adam, I'll go ahead. There's three fights of yours.
All right, so Phil, you're a good-looking guy. You're an all-American wrestler, national champion. You're smart. You're loyal to your wife. You're a family guy. You've beaten everybody. You got a fucking 10-pack, and Bellator is burying you on like an Israel card at 3 p.m. on a Tuesday. Okay. I think you should be the poster boy for Bellator. Like, I think that you will stand up against anybody in the world. And I think you could be the best fighter in the world at your weight class. Yeah. Well, who did you pick? What happened? Did you sleep with someone's wife in college or something? What's going on?
I don't think so.
I don't remember.
Can neither confirm nor deny that. But no, you know what? Honestly, Bellator's been honestly really, really great about getting me top fights and great guys to fight. And right now, they're really building up the light heavyweight division. What they're trying to do right now, eventually they want to build it up and have another light heavyweight tournament.
Right.
So, in the meantime, they're just keeping me as busy as possible. I'm taking on as Neil Melanson. You know Neil. He's a Vegas guy. He says, you know, taking on all comers and coming on all takers.
How do you feel, though, like, as far as you in the gym? Do you feel as good as you did 5 years ago? Do you feel like you lost a step? How do you feel?
You know, it's crazy. So I'm like a late bloomer. I feel like I'm late to get my grown man strength. Like, it's crazy, man. Like, I've had two injuries pretty much my entire career. And they've just been the best injuries. If you want to have an injury, you want to have a PCL tear. It's non-invasive. There's no surgery. You just do rehab, and that's it. And you sit out for 6 to 9 months. And so, you know, I've just been really blessed. And now I just feel like I'm just full of, like, knowledge.
Right.
Just in this game. And I just feel like I'm just – my body is just healthy. Like, man, if you look at any of my teammates from high school, college –
yeah, they're all retired.
And now I'm like, yo, I've never had a surgery. I've never broken a bone. I've had like 3 black eyes. Two of them from wrestling. Like,
do you know? Like, aren't those just your eyes?
What's that?
Aren't those just your eyes, regularly?
Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
A black eye. Okay,
that's good.
Okay.
All right,
that's good.
Yeah, Adam. Yeah, got it. Black.
Hey, can we get him a job? Maybe he could be a comedian or something.
Okay, I got 3 questions real quick. There was I looked at your fights. I looked at and I thought what your best fights were, and I'm going to ask you if you think these were your best fights. Okay, now Francis Carmont, I thought that – okay, you hit him with a left that came from – it was one of those Avengers. No, it looked like the Avengers. But you threw it like this, and then it came, and I was like, oh, that's some Avengers shit. Okay. No, you really murked him.
Yeah, no, it came all the way from Cleveland for sure.
That was a beast moment. But then that's when you got the belt. Okay, that's 3 years ago. Linton, okay, that knockout in Bellator 200.
Yep.
That one was more like a highlight reel to me. Like,
right. 2 years ago yesterday.
Oh wow. Damn.
See, you weren't even trying to do that.
Damn.
Okay. Now this is the one I was going to ask you about. Because I wrote a note because I was watching your fights and I was watching all of them thinking, okay, was this your toughest fight, Liam? Was Liam your toughest fight? On Bellator?
No.
Anthony Johnson is probably your toughest fight, right?
No, I mean, if he looked like you got
– In Bellator? Or we're saying in Bellator?
Bellator.
I would say –
like a tough fight. You beat him, absolutely. You beat the brakes off him, but – that looked tough to me. I was like, and I want to ask you, was that a fight where you're like, God damn, this dude is not going, he's not going away?
No, he's definitely, definitely would not go away. So I fought him twice. The first time I went 5 rounds and took the light heavyweight title from him. The second time, I finished him in the third or the second? Yeah. Third.
But your leg kicked him to death. Your leg kicks were your marketing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, strategically, that was one of my favorite fights. That was one of those, you know, we put a plan together, and I just stuck to it. And it's beautiful when, like, you work on something in training, and the read is completely correct. Everything falls in place. You say he's going to step left, and he steps left. You know what I'm saying? Like, everything fell in place. So I'll give you a little background. In the first fight, we start fighting, and in the first round, I catch him with a hook. I was really trying to press him up against the fence and just kind of dirty box him, tire him out, right? He's a high-level black belt, so I didn't really want to get to the ground with him. I mean, I think I'm good on the ground. I just didn't want – I knew he would be comfortable there. So when you know someone's comfortable, you just don't give them what they want.
Like that whole Tito Ortiz thing. He had some weird submissions that, like, come out.
Right. Yeah. Right. And of course, we watched that fight, and he did an inverted triangle out of side control. So whenever I ended up on top, I did knee on belly. Now, he can never have side control the way he wanted to set up his triangle. So check this out. So I catch him with this hook, and he grabs me to try to, like, you know, stop the punches. And I'm like, oh, no. You don't, nobody grabs me in, like, a bear hug. So I take him down, and I pass his guard. I'm knee on belly just like we practiced so I wouldn't get inverted triangle. And I just start punching him. And then that round was over, and I was like, that was kind of – that seemed a little bit easier than it should have been. Maybe we should go back.
Right.
So I did it again. I took him down and went straight back to knee on belly, and I did it for 5 rounds.
Right.
That was the whole fight. I get so annoyed, though. When you're fight, so I get upset when you when you headhunt. Right? Does your coach get mad at you, too? Is he like, why are we not wrestling?
No. No.
You're an NCAA champion. You were the
exactly.
Best.
Exactly. And that's exactly why everyone expects it.
Right. Yeah.
So the opposite. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. And so the second fight, so he asked for a rematch. And so we rematched in LA last year. And I remember in the press conference after the first fight, he's like, you know, Phil did what he did. You know, Phil does what he always does. He just lays on me, really kind of made it lackluster. I'm like, you're a high level black belt. You couldn't get out of knee on belly? Mm-hmm. We should talk about that. Like, but you know, I like, honestly, like, that's just not who I am, is like kicking a man when he's down. He's having a terrible night. He just got manhandled, lost the title. That's a rough night. He was so fragile. I was just like, I'm not even about, you know, stomping a man when he's down. But second fight, I was like, okay. In his head, he thought he lost that fight because I wrestled him, and I didn't. I simply took advantage of the situation that was there. I didn't even come in trying to wrestle.
Right.
So the second fight, my whole strategy was to leg kick him. And he plants really hard on his lead leg. It was just to kick his lead leg. And then really just work him standing up. Because when a guy gets taken down as many times as he did, he does an 8-week camp with every wrestler within 30 miles.
Good point. These are good points. You're making good points.
Hold on. It gets better, right? So he fights King Mo. He stops a couple takedowns. He feels great about his wrestling. He's like, I can take on Phil now. He gets his great camp going. He brings in his wrestling coach. He has, you know, everybody he can get, you know? And then all of that, you did your whole camp based upon Phil trying to take you down, and the moment never comes. Can you imagine how empty that must feel? How you've been training for this moment, but the moment never came? The opportunity to show what you've been doing never came?
You're playing good mind games. You can put good mind games.
Oh, this shit is all mind games.
Okay, fine. But that one fight, you should have taken down. The fight you lost.
Okay,
the
all right. I should have taken him down.
That Sambo guy. Right. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, Nemkov.
But you still, he didn't check one kick. Like, you were lighting him up. It was like, I was sitting there going, is he going to check any of these kicks? He didn't check.
Nah.
He kept leaning in. He put his weight on it. And I literally looked at it and said, you know he's about to light you up again on your leg. Then he lit him up again and again and again. And I thought, he's not going to be able to stand. I'm telling you. And I was no. my son was like, this dude's going to be crippled. Like, we were watching it. I really thought, this dude's going to have to get a new leg. That was great. Yeah, but I was like, why isn't he checking? Like, by the third time, I thought, he's got to catch on.
I know. It's so flexed. Mm-hmm. Fucking, like, I mean, how do you get your body without taking steroids? How does that happen? What do you do?
Bro, so my dad was a state champion hurdler. A big part of it. You got to have a dad who's a state champion hurdler.
that genetics is not bad to have.
Yeah. Well, I read you also played, you were varsity tennis.
Yeah.
You were a tennis player?
Yeah, and cross country.
Wow, that's crazy. I mean, when I think of you, I don't think tennis.
I tell you what, though, if I applied myself, I could have been decent at tennis. Cross country, it was never going to be in the cards for me. I mean, not even close. I only ran it for wrestling, just to be lean and be in shape. But tennis, ooh, we could have done something there.
When you say it could have been decent, like, you could have been, like, a pro ranked top 10 like that?
Well, here's the deal. I will never say I could have been professional. I just feel like if someone said that to me about fighting, I'd be like, that's cute.
Yeah, but you actually did it.
I was number one on my team, and I was awful. I would have been a good number two, number three, but tennis was like our family sport. So like we would go out on the weekends, my dad, my brothers, we played doubles, and it was just fun, you know?
Right.
Other people would play basketball, like just, you know, pickup game, we would play tennis.
That's awesome.
The Williams brothers. Yeah. So that was what we did. And, you know, we had at one point we had a clay court membership. We used to, tennis, you can get deep in that game real fast.
That's awesome, man. That's really, really cool. Now, were you surprised? I thought you beat Bader twice. I don't understand. Like I had you winning when he knocked out Fedor and when he beat the shit out of Matt Trione. Were you surprised at all?
The move up to heavyweight is real. Like you never know how a guy's going to do. Definitely surprised. Especially knockout. He knocked out like three guys. He knocked out King Mo. Then he knocked out who else? Fedor.
Yeah, knocked
out. Is there another guy?
Maybe. But yeah.
Yeah. But what's crazy? I'm like, dude, he knocked three guys out in 30 seconds, and I'm like, with the same punch.
He never even rocked you.
Right.
No.
Yeah, you weren't even faded at all.
No. it's styles make fights, man. And it's crazy because, you know, there was just never that opportunity. It's not even like I dodged the punch. It was never there. Like, he didn't come at me like that. The whole fight just evolved differently with he and I in there. Like, it's
the only guy ever rock you was Anthony Johnson, right?
Yeah. Yep.
That was the difference.
At least that Johnson, I remember.
A heavy hitter. He's a heavy hitter.
Was that one of those things where you were like, I could take a punch, no one could hurt me, and then you're like, whoa, like, where am I?
Honestly, I remember it very, very vividly. I never, like, you know, I was trying to like fake a takedown and he hit me. I was still trying to punch him and he hit me with an uppercut, right? Bam, caught me clean. And he hit me in the eyebrow and it started to bleed. Or he either hit me right below the eye or right above the eye. Anyway, started to bleed. I think it was right above. And he started to bleed into my eye. And before the blood got to my eye, there were like three Anthony Johnsons in front of me. So I don't know how scary you think Anthony Johnson is, but three of them is not good, okay? It's not good.
Wow.
And just imagine being stuck in a dark alley with three Anthony Johnsons trying to fight you. It's
you
just
like,
not
hit
good.
The one in the, was it like Rocky? Like hit the one in the middle? Did you hit the one in the middle?
Yeah, of course you always try to. So another thing, here's the other thing that happened, right? So shortly after... Surely after that moment, I'm like, okay, there's three of them. Act cool, you're good. Keep your face together, right? So I'm like, all right, yeah, I mean, that's good. Yeah, whatever, right? Then the blood comes down, and I just remember it was this eye was just like red. Like, it was just like a movie. Like the screen just got just covered in blood, right?
Oh my God.
And never in my life had like blood in my eye or seen anything like that. Oh my God.
The voice in your head going, shoot a single leg. Like,
oh yeah, definitely. I was trying to grab a hold of him like bad, but of course he knew that. He's veteran. He got some tricks. He knows that takedown is coming.
Right.
It was well underway as soon as he hit me.
Right.
So at that point, right, real thought went through my head. I'm in like a 300 level kines class at Penn State, and they're explaining hand-eye coordination, right? You need two eyes in order to have depth perception, right? And that never I get it. I can say it. I can read it out of the book. I'll write it down for my test. It never really makes sense. If I close my eye, I still know where the phone is. I can still touch my nose. You know what I mean? Like, I still have that. In that moment, it all makes sense because I'm moving. He's moving. He's throwing hammers at me. And what's crazy is, and this is how I knew I was like, I was messed up, because he could hit me, but I couldn't hit him. He was just kept coming up short.
College classes right now. No offense, but like, he hit you back to college.
Bro, he hit me back to college. He took me to school.
Why do I have this?
He literally took me to school.
I have this backpack on and I'm running up the steps. What the But the thing is, some of the fights I've seen you have, you've done the same shit. One, your high kick, it seems like it always sneaks over their guard. Mm-hmm. It always does. Like, it seems like they come in, and as soon as they go to put it up, you go, nah, I'm going to take it about an inch a little higher. Wham! So you've slept people with that's why I was telling Adam, your resume is like, it's a submission, head kick, knockout, submission. It's like, if you would look at an MMA resume, you go, that's the resume I would want.
And he's also making up fucking submissions, like his Tim Bosch, like, yeah. He learned it like that morning. His like
so funny story. I actually learned that I was warming up with Lloyd Irvin, and I took this fight on 7 days' notice against Rodney Wallace. Right, I think that was my third fight in 7 days' notice. The fight was in Oakland. I was at San Jose training with at the time, and I was just like, I mean, I'm in shape. I mean, I could fight. And the deciding factor was I'm 2-0 in the UFC. This guy had two fight of the night performances, but he's 0-2 in the UFC. Now, the way that the contracts are structured, for the same money, later on, I'm going to fight a guy who is definitely not going to be 0-2. So why wouldn't I fight the 0-2 guy on 7 day notice? Like, no, 0-2 every day. Like, nah, 7 days I'm good enough. Let's go.
You've always been like, I remember you came to my comedy show. By the way, I have a whole bunch of new jokes now. So, but I remember you came to you came to a bunch of my shows, and there was one time you just signed with Bellator, and you're like, I'm getting like five times the money to fight like similar guys. Why wouldn't I do it? Like, there was no, there's no ego involved. Like, some people are like, what are you going about? You're like, fuck it. Like, I got a family. I want to have, how many kids do you have? Three now? Two kids?
Two kids.
You got a family. You got a house in San Diego. You probably own the house, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you got cars, yep. You probably own your car. Like, why would you not do that? Like, what do you need to, I mean, go with the money.
Go with the money.
Right. Well, and you also, you still got, you won the tournaments. Like, you won tournaments that other people have tried three and four times, and you came and you ran through them. I mean, that's the fact. Because, even when Big John was interviewing you, it was like, wow, you submit one guy, and then you knock another guy out. It's an easy night for you. And he was talking to you. I was going, yeah, if you think about it, it kind of was. It didn't seem like it was like, oh, that was such a test. You kind of ran through it.
Well, you know, it's the hardest part about that night was when you get done fighting, especially if you get a finish, the second you know, the ref steps in, you're like, whew.
Like, really?
The feeling of sitting back in your chair, like, you know, whew, all right, I'm done. You know, like, it's a long build up to get to a fight, you know, just to get there to the cage, and then when it's over, deep breath, we're good, you know. But to have to like silence that feeling, and because I was very intentional about never allowing myself to indulge in that first win, and you know, I beat what's his name? Emmanuel Newton. I submitted him. Come here, Teddy.
Well, that's probably
come sit on my lap.
That's probably a wrestling thing, also.
Yeah. This guy's going to be a wrestling champ right here.
No, there he. Look at him. He's already a cute champ. Look at you. That, well, you look, good thing you look like your mom.
So no, I just think that when I watched the fight, and when I watched the fights, it just seemed like tournaments. I would imagine you can't step off the gas. Does that make sense?
No, like not at all.
Oh, I got that one. That's good. But this next guy, I got to really, you know, this is when I got to. Yeah. But you did though. No, you did. It's just that I would imagine tournaments, other than physically and taxing on you, that mindset would be like, wow, I got to reset for this next guy. And usually it's time between the reset for the next guy.
But
you don't get
time. Yeah, the commission was adamant on only giving us 1 hour exactly in between fights. So right around.
Did you see what happened just now?
He gassed out. Phil, are you still here? Hello?
I lost connection, no big deal.
Yeah, he's a good dude. Isn't he the best?
Oh, yeah. He said there was three of them. So imagine three of them in an alley. That is hilarious. Yeah. No, I'm like what you had said on the when I had texted you, he is so underrated. But he just has such a cool attitude about it.
Yeah, he's getting paid. He like does what he loves. He's got great family, cute kids.
Yeah, so, yeah, but I guess
I think living in San Diego helps because he grew up in like, Pennsylvania. I think San Diego's a lot happier than Pennsylvania.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's a – yeah, Pennsylvania. I don't
– I was going to say if I had to live one place where there was no – like, if I'd done doing comedy, I could live one place in America, I think it'd be San Diego.
Really?
It's warm.
Hawaii.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, Hawaii.
Alaska.
Really?
She would say Alaska.
Hell yeah, I'm going out there with my log cabin, hunt some grizzly bears, eat some maple syrup.
It's hell like yeah, dude. 50 men for every woman there.
Yeah, and you rip the skin off your penis from masturbating in your cabin somewhere.
I've already ripped the skin off my penis with this quarantine, dude, trust me.
Oh, yeah, my bad. Yeah, that's, like, I've already done that. What's next? No, I'd say for sure, San Diego's beautiful, but Hawaii, man. I went and did some shows there, and I was like, when I retire, I'm moving here.
Yeah, totally.
It's one of those places you go, this is like a movie set. It's amazing. I've done like 3 shows there. Nassau is beautiful too. I've done shows there too. So, I mean, but like to me, when just talking to Phil, he seems like he really, and him and his team really like digest how, okay, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, we're going to do this. And some, like, where other fighters just, Diego Sanchez just goes, I'm going to go out and fight. Just throw hands. There's not a lot of strategies. Just like, I'm bloody. My eyebrow's hanging off my ass. But he don't care.
Now he has that new trainer who, you heard about that guy who's training him.
No.
Oh, he's this trainer that is his only trainer, only guy in the corner. And he has this thing called School of Self-Awareness. I don't think he's ever gotten to a fight before. His whole goal is for Diego not to get beat up. He says that his practices are insane. He has a YouTube channel where you can watch him beat up 3 guys at once, but it doesn't seem like these guys are really trying. It's unbelievable. You want to be – by the way, speaking of which, Mike Perry says for his next fight, he's only going to have his girlfriend in his corner.
Probably a smart move.
You think so?
Yeah, definitely. We all know how successful fighters with girlfriends in the corners are.
Has that ever happened? I think
Jose Alvey's girlfriend or his wife is always in his corner.
Yeah, but he also has like Team Quest in his corner, and like
It's not like he doesn't have a top team.
I remember Jose Canseco when he fought Hung Mong Choi, came in with like a baseball bat, wearing tights, and he had his girlfriend in his corner. I think he like broke his ankle within 30 seconds.
Perry's kind of a nut. I like him, but he's kind of a nut, though. Did you say no? You don't. You said kind of. No, I honestly, I've watched his interviews, and sometimes I think, oh, he's just, you know, he's hood. But then he'll go really left and go, no, he's crazy. He's like lick windows crazy. Like I think that he's one of those people I would never want to run in and make him upset.
No, of course not. No, of course not. No, but when you say he's hood, what do you mean by that?
He just comes off like he just comes off hood. I mean, I'm not really hood.
He's hood. No, you were like, didn't you say growing up you were like the only black guy at the Metallica concert?
Like, oh yeah, I loved metal. Yeah, yeah, and I used to mosh, and I mean. That when I went, I used to go to House of Champions, Big Jim, and Frank Friedman was the kickboxing. I did that because when I would go mosh, I would get hurt a lot.
Yeah.
And also, it was also so I wouldn't get beat up. I remember Park Playground. I was like, oh, man, people are getting beat up. And I'm like, I don't want to get beat up. But I would mosh, and I was like, oh, that'll help me in moshing. When I go mosh, I can be tougher. So that was one of my reasons for doing it. I know this sounds weird, like a weird reason. Because I wanted to be the hardest mosher in the pit.
And I know. Yeah, you grew up where? In New York?
Yeah.
And where? Queens? Brooklyn?
Brownsville.
Wow.
Yeah. And I used to go to Jersey City. I used to train over there. And then I would catch the path back. Then I would go to art school. And then home. And then work.
Did you ever see, did you ever see Shannon Briggs or Tyson in your neighborhood?
Yeah, I saw Tyson. I didn't see Briggs. Wow. And I was scared of him because I thought he had that look in his eyes like, I will eat your face. Like, he has that look like where his eyes are twitching. So, but that was a long time ago. And, like, the main thing for me when I watch a lot of fighters now and I look at the fighters from before that I knew, none of them could hang with these dudes.
No, but, like, about Brownsville, like, because I'm from Long Island and they always said, like, Brownsville was, like, they said, oh, Tyson's from Brownsville. That's like the worst area in New York. That's like.
No, it wasn't the worst. No. The Bronx was the worst by far.
Really? Like Harlem, the Bronx is worse than Brownsville?
No, Harlem wasn't. Fort Apache was.
What's Fort Apache?
In the Bronx.
That's the place in the Bronx that was
wrong. Yeah, the Bronx, but I'm going to tell you right now, like, I think because my family and everything, I didn't have any problems. I mean, I've gotten scrapes, but I didn't have any problems. But a lot of the fighters that you hear coming from there, there were so many more that were really good, but they all got into dumb drug trouble. But if they didn't, you'd be talking about them like you talk about Tyson.
Wow.
Yeah, there was a ton. And
well, Tyson cussed him out to pull him out of that area.
Well, he had to. If he wouldn't have pulled him out, he'd be robbing houses. He'd be robbing houses and he would have got shot. I'm serious. So Mike Tyson would have. He absolutely would. I know there's a friend of mine, Ben, and he was a boxer. I remember because he knocked out one of my tooth, you motherfucker. Yeah, no, I hope you're watching this. You lucky knocked my son, bitch. But I think that a lot of the people that you see fighters from there, they all went the wrong direction. So they didn't have anybody to guide them. Whereas I think Mike Tyson was super lucky to find somebody that was like, let's take this kid and take him out of that, you know, that element, that crazy element. I mean, when you got to step over a body to get your mail, and people are like, oh, was it a bum? No, a dead person. Like, that makes you – that's why I was like, I can't wait to go to Jersey.
That was your area, though. So
yeah, saying- no, I, like, for me, no. Like, for some reason, other than being funny, people didn't really bother me too much. I got bothered, like, twice, and I got bothered when I went to Little Italy. Some dudes chased me and scared the shit out of me. I was scared as fuck because I thought I could take one of them. But three, I'm going to die. And I ran, and I was like, my heart was beating out of my chest. And that's why I was like, when I watch fighters, I go, how do they keep that calm? Like, to me, like, George St. Pierre, the reason I'm a huge George St. Pierre fan, and I don't know if you like George St. Pierre.
I love GSP, of course.
Oh, you do? Okay, good. Because some people, they go, yeah, but he wasn't that exciting a fighter. I'm like, yes, he was.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
He was awesome. Like, so... I got an autograph from him, and he was the coolest motherfucker, like super chill, you know what I'm saying? But like when I watched him from getting ready for fights, he just seemed so fucking like calm. Whereas then some fighters seem like they're back there screaming and punching shit. GSP is just absolutely my favorite. And now just talking to Phil Davis is fucking cool.
I'm sorry, he was gonna come back because I had so many more questions for him. I had a couple more questions for him. I wanted to ask him, Phil. Hello?
Is Phil? He coming back?
Hello? Phil.
I hope he's okay.
Everything okay? Hello? Phil Davis. Champ.
Champ.
Are you coming back? It's okay. It's okay. He didn't mean it. I'm sure he didn't mean it.
What are you talking about?
His son pulled the charger out of the wall, so he's just charging his computer.
Oh.
Okay. Your phone. Oh, charging your phone. Okay, cool. So, are you talking now? You wanna jump back on? Okay, cool.
Let me ask you before he jumps back on. Who's your favorite? If you can name your top three favorite fighters. I know mine, but I always get a debate because they say I don't know about that.
The top three favorite fighters. I mean, as people or fighters?
Because that's different for me. Because as people, the people I've met so far, also through you and just
being. Yeah, I mean, as fighters, I would say Frankie Edgar is always in a war. Uriah Faber is definitely one of those guys. I mean, the fight that he had where he broke both his hands and was just his elbows. I mean. Talk about a guy who just doesn't quit. But then, like, Brock Lesnar was, like, always exciting to me. You know, like, just...
Are you serious?
He wasn't the greatest fighter, but, like, I would get excited about watching his fights. There's something about him.
Did you hear that? Hold on, Adam. Did you hear... You heard that, didn't you?
Brock Lesnar was a really good fighter.
Oh, my God. No, He was an
NCAA champion.
Yes, but he was just on some Viking shit. I give you that.
He had like four. He had like
pulled his ankle off his fucking body.
He had like four pro. And what happened in the rematch though? Brock Lesnar had like five pro fights, but he never actually had like a real camp. He was like too good for. He was too athletic.
Brock Lesnar. He's not even in the discussion. Are you fucking kidding me?
If Brock Lesnar didn't get diverticulitis and whatever that stomach problem.
That's a little problem. Right? I know.
That he was on a path where when he murked Frank Mir, that was like next level. Frank Mir's like, my jiu-jitsu is on a whole different level. I'm the greatest at jiu-jitsu. And he put him in a schoolyard headlock and just went like this.
Yeah, but that's why like that was like what Frank
that
Mir
was,
did.
That was amazing.
What Frank Mir did to him the first fight was the one.
But we didn't know but Brock didn't know what he was doing. He didn't know what was going on.
That's why he got what he. I don't know.
Well, Davis, wasn't Brock Lesnar a very talented fighter?
Yeah.
You hesitated.
I did. Because he's not technical.
Right.
He was just Viking. It was weird. It froze just now.
What were you saying, Phil?
There we go. I was saying he's not very technical, but he is very talented.
Yeah.
Definitely very.
Yeah, for a guy who, like, he was the NCAA champion two times. I mean, he was
he's
a great.
I'm saying in MMA, he's not talented. He's just Viking. He's a gigantor. He grabs you in gigantor moves, and he does Ben Grimm punches.
No,
he has his punches are just like wild and weird. He doesn't hit. No, I'm not gonna want to fight him up.
Punch Heath Herring, and the guy ran across the cage. He did like a
because he's a fucking Viking. He's a gigantor.
He beat Randy Couture like his fourth fight. This guy. I mean, he had no.
That's crazy.
He had no business
being
there. And he was a pro wrestler. I mean, the guy, Brock Lesnar, if he hadn't got that stomach AIDS thing he got, okay, he would have actually, I think.
I don't think so. Because Cain.
That was after, but that was a different Brock.
What are you talking about? Cain Murphy.
They don't make a version of Brock that would have beat Cain Velasquez.
Really? Yeah, maybe. I don't know. You don't know the Brock Lesnar that beat Frank Mir would have beaten Cain Velasquez?
No.
UFC 100 Brock Lesnar?
No.
You trained with Cain back in the day, back in upstate New York, right?
No. What?
You're getting people mixed up.
I see where you're going with this.
No, your Wikipedia said that those guys came and trained with you.
Who, Cain?
But yeah, back when you were part of like the horse, what was the name of your team?
Lionheart?
Yeah, back team Lionheart. Was that in New York, Lionheart?
That was in Pennsylvania, Penn State.
Penn State. Didn't Kane train with you there?
No. According to
Wikipedia, it did. He did. That's what I was.
Bro, you can't believe what you read on the internet.
All right, but you did train with Kane Velasquez back in the day.
Yeah. I wouldn't say I don't train with Kane now. I haven't trained with him in a couple of years, but I mean, he's somebody I would consider a teammate.
What was that like? Was he just like 100% all time?
I mean, he's a hammer. he's not one of the guys. 100% all the time means you don't know how to train.
Yeah.
But he's a hammer for sure. He's definitely intense.
Now, I heard Kelvin Gastelum shows up late, doesn't train hard, like the girls beat him, like people walking off the street, like submit him. But then when it comes to fighting, he knocks everybody out. Is there any truth to this?
Well, I mean, everybody goes through a Hollywood streak. I don't want to put it on him like he's not a hard worker.
Yeah. You don't want to put it out there.
Right, yeah. It's a different thing once it's out there. Now, Calvin works his butt off. Okay. Calvin definitely works his butt off. And the other thing is, Calvin does, like, he does, and I see him, he does a lot of, like, workouts just on his own. So you may say, all right, you know, Calvin isn't as consistent in certain things. He doesn't maybe come in the evening as much as you might think he should. But Calvin's getting work in somewhere else.
Now, what happened to Darion Caldwell? Because he's been to, like, 19 different camps this year. Like, he went to three camps during the
19 contest. Camps.
This guy Caldwell is unbelievable. I mean, he's an NCAA champion. He was a Bellator champion.
Two-time.
But he just can't seem to stay in the same – look, he was with you guys, right? Is he not with you guys anymore?
Yeah. What happened? He's not with us. You know, not to get too far in it, but, you know, he didn't like some of the things that were going on, and he thought he would be the short version, the PC version. He thought he'd be better off somewhere else. And truthfully, you know, I a lot of things that he was upset about and voiced grievance over, you know, I can get behind, but it's kind of, for me, it's like how you go about it. Like you gain so much more when you stay in one spot, you know? But when you move around too much, then, you know, you never begin. You can, I mean, every camp will have their problems. But, you know, if you move around too much, you only solve them by making sure that the new camp doesn't have the old camp's problem.
Yeah, look at bigger picture. Like, yeah, this month, right. Nothing's perfect. He seems like the kind of guy that nitpicks and says, I'm out. And that sucks because, like, I'm a big Caldwell fan. I just hope he finds that one camp and stays there.
But he needs to settle in and stay somewhere, though.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you can't turn around like a fucking butterfly. You need to settle in and get a rhythm with the camp that you're with.
Right. I mean, the Patriots are only the Patriots because everybody buys in.
Right.
You know, it's not that they win every season. You know, you may not win all the time. You got to buy in. And you got to give it time. Trust the process.
Right, and you got to deflate the balls. You got to definitely deflate the balls too.
now, back in the day when you were at
balls count.
You were at Alliance during like the hot chick psycho heyday, where you had Angela Maganda, Rowdy Beck, that Mexican hottie. Now, Claudia, I think her name is or something, right? So now you're trying to run a real gym. And these girls are posting tit pics and vagina shots, but they're all good fighters. Do you have to say, listen, ladies, like, not making our gym look that good when everyone could see what you ate for lunch on Instagram through your vagina? Like, is that, like, is, do you have to have that conversation?
That's a weird conversation.
Oh, he left again? Oh, come on. All right, hold on.
No, honestly, you know, what females bring to the sport is so different from what guys bring to the sport. And girls, they can gain a lot of fans by talking trash, you know, Conor McGregor style, Ronda Rousey style, just kind of like really drawing out the trash talking. And they can also gain a lot of fans via TNA. And listen, I'm not hating either way. Like, you know what I mean? Make your money.
Right.
But if I could say anything, it's something I've heard from a good friend. They said, make the money, don't let the money make you. No? Yeah. Nobody ever seen the Players Club? Really? Y'all gonna leave me hanging like
I've
that?
Seen yeah. it. I've
That's
seen
some
it.
Suckers, man. Dang.
I've seen it. And Bernie Mac, like, they don't even know. You know he don't know. But Adam might know. We know this. No, but I honestly, like, that many hot women, it would be hard to train. It would be hard to focus.
Yeah, but you see his wife. His wife is like a fitness model.
Okay, well, it's different for you, but I'm saying if you're single and you're trying to train and all you see is an ass shot over here, you're not going to be as focused.
But they don't look like that in the gym, though. A lot of them don't look like that in the gym.
Yeah, but
No, they don't. They don't.
You're thinking about the last, you know, clamp. Come on. But, I wanted to ask you this, too. Since you seem like you like to be a technical fighter from the standpoint, like, to have a plan, like, what fighter would you say that you looked at before you really got into it, that you looked at and you thought, that's how I want to model myself as a fighter? Or is there anybody that you looked at and thought, that guy? Why is there a helicopter outside my window?
They own you.
Yeah.
Which fighter would you say?
Let's see. You know, I really like George St. Pierre. I really like his take on the game. You know, he's a smart fighter, man. He's a smart fighter. He doesn't. It's not about taking unnecessary risks. He makes a reasonable risk calculation every time. You know, he takes some guys down. He stands with other guys, and he's good everywhere. And he improvises. You know, he's on the fly. He's just as good. Carlos Condit had him on the ropes, so to speak. Of course, more so than anyone else I can remember.
Yeah.
You know, even going back all the way back to who was the guy who hit him in the Hendricks too. But Hendricks didn't – I mean, Hendricks was really – that was a super competitive back-and-forth nail-biter, if I remember, from what I remember.
Right, and GSP was bloody, but GSP did take him down. GSP
– Yeah.
But, yeah, Superman, but Condit had him rocked. Condit had him rocked.
Condit had him rocked.
But Condit, like, wobbly. He wobbled.
Yeah.
And, again, it was all – I mean, he makes the smartest decision for the scenario to find a way to win.
Now, you were part of an amazing run at Penn State. Yep. Kale Sanderson, I don't know if you know this, Shane. So Kale Sanderson was like arguably the best wrestler of all time in America.
The people are still arguing there.
I mean, him and Dan Gable are neck and neck. He was a four-time national champion. I think he
won four-time national champ.
He won the Olympics, right?
Won the Olympics.
Lost to Yoel Romero twice, which was crazy in international. But this guy, he came over to Penn State and he took over Penn State. And Phil was like one of his guys. I think you were a little older when he came over, right?
No, I was. He came the year after I left.
Oh, okay. So you weren't under that whole regime when he got rid of Jenkins and okay. But one of your teammates was Pat Cummings, right?
Yeah.
Now, when Pat Cummings called out Daniel Cormier, did you think he had a shot?
Man, listen, it's a fight. It's a fight. Everybody has a shot. And you know, from what he was saying, I know Pat, and
I know it sounds like a legit story, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, it sounds like he may have gained some mental edge that he thought he could use in a fight. And, you know.
You didn't get a shot.
If what he said was true, maybe he knew something I did not.
Though, so you had some inside info. I mean, you know, blood, sweat, and tears with the guy. So I mean, was there any part of you like, you know what, maybe he can pull this off?
Well, he's Pat's incredibly talented, two-time national finalist. Really, and he was one of those guys who was an undersized heavyweight. Like, I mean, he was like 230.
Yeah.
Wrestling 285, just smoking cats. Like, I mean, he was like a power wrestler, picking guys up off the mat, blowing through them on doubles. Super athletic. So, I mean, I put him in there athletically with anybody in the world. Unfortunately, where I would say, if I could go back and say, man, if this or that could have changed anything, if Pat could have gone straight from his time in college wrestling straight into training mixed martial arts, he would have had a career that would – he'd be super scary. Super,
yeah, he went to jail scary. For a year for going – him and Eric Bradley went back to Penn State and robbed
– Why you got to bring up old stuff?
And robbed frat houses. And
why you got to
– But, all right, okay. So, all right, before you came on.
Allegedly. They say he did it, but
he did serve
we'll
a
leave
year.
It at that.
All right, okay, so let's talk about, before you came on, we were talking about Conor McGregor versus Usman. And I think that they're trying to make this for July 4th. I think it's a good fight because anytime that I'm like, I don't know who's going to win that fight, it's a good fight. Who do you think wins the fight?
Who versus who now?
Usman versus McGregor.
I think McGregor's going to get murked. He's going to out-wrestle him. He's going to grapple him. He's going to fucking get him against the cage and maul him.
Have we – this is going to sound crazy, but we've only seen – I guess I'm saying this as a question. We've only seen Conor at welterweight versus cowboy, correct?
And Nate Diaz. Nate Diaz, the second time, was at 170. Or was it the first time? One of the times that 170. It might have been both times.
Both are, you know, veteran fighters. Okay.
See, it's a good fight. If Phil Davis
is I didn't say that.
No.
I'm trying to figure out how to put it
that
lightly.
That was not what they showed us saying. listen, I'll watch it. Is that what you want me to say? I'll watch
it. No, that's not even
the same. Who's going to win? Who's going to win is what we're trying to say.
Right. Usman.
Usman's going to win.
Yeah.
Even though, like, if the punches that Colby landed on Usman, if Conor lands, it seems like he's got more power than Conor, and Usman's hittable. And
so here's the thing. Conor doesn't stand a whole lot of chance, but here's the thing: I've been wrong about Conor.
That's what I said.
Too many times. Same here.
I thought Aldo was going to beat him. Then I thought Eddie Alvarez was going to beat him. I thought Chad Mendes was going to beat him.
Yeah,
Aldo was one of those punches. But if they would have kept going, I think Aldo would have.
He didn't know where he was.
I think he got in. No, he got in. He got in Aldo's head.
Yeah, but
he got him. Listen, Aldo never comes out like that. He got in his head. In the 12 seconds I seen, I was like, oh, man, why did you do that? Why did you lead with a hook like that? Again, you know, boxing rules say you never lead with a left hook. But Conor left with a right hook, and that was it. So
okay, other fights this weekend. Didn't you train with Gilbert Burns, right? Was he over with you for a while?
Mm-mm.
Woodley versus Burns. Saturday.
I'll go Woodley on that.
How?
That's what Adam said too.
Yeah.
I agree.
I just feel like Tyron has a lot of fight in him. You know, he just what I mean by that, he has a long career still ahead of him. He still has a lot more fights left, and he's still got a lot of pop. I see him. We'll give him a decision on that one.
So, according to the internet, Wanderlei Silva accepted $10 million to fight Mike Tyson in bare knuckle boxing. Shang says that Tyson runs through him. Phil, your thoughts on this?
Fight at all?
Wait, who runs through who? We talking about Mike runs through Wanderlei?
Yeah.
Boxing, just boxing. Even on old Mike Tyson, at least from the footage I saw.
No, I will tell you this. Here's where it gets extremely interesting. Extremely interesting. And you should definitely think about this. I don't think it'll make a damn bit of difference. But boxers have very fragile hands.
Yes. He's going to break his hand in 8 seconds of this fight.
Very, very fragile hands. I mean, that's all they use. You know, I mean, my hands are starting to feel a little bit, you know, different after a decade of this. But when you started when you are a world champ at 19 and now you're 53, those hands have seen so much abuse.
Right.
And you want to do bare knuckle? Like, I think that's something to think about. Well, now, having said that, I think if it was like open palm strike, I think it would still go the same way.
Tyson.
Tyson. Like,
now, Tito Ortiz says that he's been contacted to box Tyson.
No.
That's what Tito says.
Oh, my God. What's going on? What? Like, he has a bad neck.
Yeah, but Tyson like, has
a bad neck.
Yeah.
No, I like following Tito and Amber Nicole. They got a cute little, you know what I mean, Instagram life that, you know, is following. Obviously, it's not real life, but I like following them. They do fun stuff, but I don't want that.
You don't want that?
I get it.
For the money. Chuck Liddell fighting Tito was sad.
It was beyond sad.
It was sad, and I think that they, like, there's a certain age, in my age, that you go, you know what? I don't want to get hurt.
But now, 2 years ago, I saw pictures of Mike Tyson. He was, like, obese, couldn't walk. It was, like, he had a beard. He was, like, 95 years old. Mm-hmm. Cut to last week, he's shredded. He looks like a bodybuilder. I mean, just how does this happen?
Shredded?
Not shredded, but he looks like
he looks more in shape than he ever did.
Great. Like,
yeah.
How does this happen? Great.
I mean,
is it TRT? Is it high levels of TRT, like 30-1?
I wouldn't even take it that far. I mean, I'm not lying if I said the thought didn't cross my mind, but he's still an elite athlete.
That was a polite way to say yes.
He was at Vitor Belfort's gym. He was training at Vitor Belfort yesterday.
Yo, why did you just link that together like
they
that?
Were.
Tell
they
me,
were.
Yo, I, you got to stop. Go Adam, on you Instagram. Got to stop.
I swear. Go
you
on.
Got, I
on.
Saw him. I saw that. I saw that, Adam. I saw that. But you don't have to put it together like that.
You don't think
you – No. Let me tell you what you just did. This is what you did. All I'm saying is – do you think maybe it could have been TRT? By the way, he was training at Vitor Belfort's gym.
Adam, that was the most.
Why did you do? Oh my God!
Am I lying? Did anything I say was a lie?
No, but it's funny because
was there anything that wasn't true? What I said?
Nah, it was all true. It was all true.
So I'm just saying, like, right?
Silly. So
I think
silly.
Once you're 50, you shouldn't be boxing at all. But if you are going to box, you definitely should steroid it up.
Bare knuckle doesn't test. I mean, there's not testing anything. I don't even know why Rowdy Beck came back. She was the queen of bare knuckle. She was knuckles deep. So
wow.
You got to stop, bro. You got to stop. All right.
So she is hottie. She's cute, right? I mean, you were a single.
Yeah. But cute girl.
But you know what's interesting that we were talking about it because my favorite fighter is GSP. Okay.
Yeah.
Was because he's not, you know. And I just like the way he went about it. And you said the same thing. And it was weird because Adam was like, no, I love GSP. But then you said, Brock Lesnar. And you just lost all credibility.
You said, who are my three favorite fighters to watch?
I said Frankie Edgar always brings it.
So you're not telling the whole story. You said to watch.
Yeah, to watch.
That changes everything.
No, I didn't say to – I said favorite
fight. To watch. Who do I want to watch fight? Because, like, there's difference. There's different. There's people that, like – Phil Davis is one of my favorite fighters to watch. You're never in a boring fight, hence – except
never. For – You go at it.
Fight was a little weird. But that but you got the win. You got the win. But right. Machida – by the way, has anyone ever been an exciting fight against Machida? Except for maybe Chris Weidman is the only one ever to look – make that exciting. Dude, always people are so stupid. They what happens is, like, Ryan Bader, I was there. He's him against Machida. He doesn't fall into his bullshit. The whole crowd starts booing. Bader comes for a lazy double and gets knocked the fuck out. And my dad, who doesn't even follow fighting, is with me. And he goes, that guy shouldn't listen to the crowd. That my dad could see that. You know?
And you know what? I think I was there. That was in Vegas. I think that was there.
In LA. It was in LA.
Either way, I think I'm pretty sure I was there. That's exactly what happened. Exactly what happened.
But a lot of people do that. A lot of fighters, if they don't follow the game plan.
Well, that's why I think having no crowds is interesting. Because, number one, I think it's making the fights more exciting because it's like telling a joke. Sometimes you tell a joke and everyone goes crazy. And you're like, I can sit back and talk about how great of a comic I am. But they're not getting the roar of the crowd after each punch.
Sure.
So they're punching even harder. The fights are even better.
I disagree with that. I think a crowd response can actually fuel you.
It can.
I've seen fighters where if the crowd was chanting for them, it actually gives you that extra boost of, okay,
But fight for fight, since there's been no crowds, I would say 90% of them have been exciting fights. Like, it's almost a higher percentage than when there is crowd, because I don't know. It just seems like
I will tell you this: fans oftentimes cheer for more action when there's a lot of action. Yeah. And I'm like, yo, hold on, man. He's working for a triangle here. Like, hold on. Like,
yeah.
He's and you know what happens? This happens a lot. You know, you'll be at a fight where you know, a guy's working a submission and the crowd's like, boo, bah, bah, you suck. And then the guy taps and they're like, oh yeah.
Yeah. Fan.
And it's real weird. And it's real awkward because you didn't, because it's, you know what I mean? It's like,
a lot of people that go to fights, and I'm not saying now that all the fight people that watch the show are going to be mad at me. A lot of them might not even know what they're doing. Like,
Right.
They don't know what a triangle. I'm a plotter. You know what? I've had that before. No.
Well, sometimes the fighters themselves don't know what's going on.
Yeah, but no. Like, most of the fighters that are watching, if they're watching somebody set up.
How many times the fighter got into a fucking twister?
What's going on.
Sometimes the fighter gets into a twister and he has no idea what's going on. He's like, I feel bad for the guy. No, let's talk about real quick. In Ngannou versus John Jones. Because for some odd reason, I feel like John Jones might take this.
I heard that was something they're working on, huh?
They're negotiating it. John Jones has retired because he says that the UFC is not going to pay him more to fight Ngannou. I think it's a tactic. But if this fight actually goes down, who do you think wins?
Well, it's a battle of who can do their thing better than the other. If Ngannou so much as scratches him.
See, I thought he has too much power, bro.
Yeah, but Jones knows this.
But the problem is that Jones is amazing at his game, which is he plays the stay away game better than anyone else. He's also a good takedown artist. And so what he's exceptional at is he keeps guys at range, at distance with his teep kicks to the knees. And he's, you know what I mean? He stretches, he always does the thing where he puts his fingers in your eyes. And so he keeps you at an extremely long range. And it's just constantly doing oblique kicks, and it keeps you at range. And eventually, you kind of get your heels on that black line going around. And then he comes in with knees, elbows, and kicks. His kicks, I mean, his kicks are the scariest part of this game.
They're annoying. His kicks are annoying. And it annoys you. But and Francis, I can't believe I'm calling him Francis. But and God, he's long too. He also is long too. He has range. So I think that if he taps him on his shoulder, that's how hard this dude hits.
A five-round fight. Don't you think a five-round fight, Jones could stay away for the first two rounds, tire this guy out, and then just take him down round three, four, five?
But if he lands
one. I don't know. Listen, that fight's not going to go five rounds.
Yeah, exactly. If Francis touches him in the first or second round, I don't think he's been hit by anybody like Francis.
You could beat Ngannou?
You know, he definitely has some takedown, some top game, and some cardio issues. And hey, I'm good at all three of those.
Right.
So, heavyweight's a different beast. You know, it kind of moves at a different cadence. When you're fighting a guy. Like there's like 1-2 and good guys will fight off rhythm, you know? And heavyweights have a different rhythm. Like you might bob, come back, and then they hit you with the other punch. You know what I'm saying? Like it's a different rhythm. And you gotta really
had problems with against Rothwell, right?
Right. I thought OSP was he should have won. Not like he did enough to win. No. I thought he lost the fight. But I thought he was the guy who should have won the fight going in.
But you think it was the like rhythm that gave him the problems, the rhythm of Rothwell?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was rhythm. I thought he could have kind of used a better game plan. I train with OSP. He's one of the biggest 205ers there is. You're a heavyweight. And like, you know, if anybody's going to be a heavyweight, it's you. It's you.
You are a heavyweight.
You are a heavyweight. You know, I think the biggest thing is when you go from light heavyweight to heavyweight, you know, you anticipate situations where you can't horse the guy around the way you want. You can't, you know what I mean, pick him up whenever you need to. And he's strong as hell, and I don't see that as ever being a thing for him. So I think if he can do that fight over and just kind of just go at it like a normal fight, just a normal fight, take whatever's there. If his leg's there, just take it. Don't worry about if his leg's too heavy or what have you, whatever. But yeah, that's kind of what I thought. I thought he felt just a little bit gun shy. I still think he's the guy who wins 9 times out of 10, to be honest.
Well, I was going to say, the reason with the way you fight, I like the fact you mix it up and you actually, you can see you actually have a plan. And like, even though like some fighters will go, I'm just going to do stand up. I'm going to go at it this way. Like, it seems like you feel through it and go, oh, okay. I can mix it up here. I can mix it up here. Where I think and that's why when Adam said it, he texted me before we were going to be doing this. He said, man, it's so underrated because a lot of people can't mix it up like you do. Like, that's smart when I see fighters that mix it up. And I think one person that just wants to stand up and just bang, and with a guy that you go, maybe I shouldn't do that. Maybe I should, like, that's what Cormier said. He said, maybe I should have wrestled. He should have wrestled when he was supposed to wrestle. And his ego, because truthfully, Cormier's ego, he's like, I'm going to stand up, I'm going to knock this guy out. That's why he lost that fight, to be real with you. I think he should have
gone
to what he's good at.
That body work eventually. And here's the thing, and this is where guys get in trouble, is that it doesn't mean, if just because I take you down, doesn't mean I will not beat you standing. But if I have to trade with you standing and you are terrible on the ground, then you're going to the ground, baby.
Right.
That's what I'm
saying. You're going to the ground.
That's it.
As simple as that.
And his coach is Tony.
And then finally, I read that you said that winning an NCAA meant more than winning a Bellator title. Is that true?
Well, man, there's so much work that goes into that NCAA title. And you, it's just everything happens in one weekend. Hey, zip it, you. I tell you. You told me to zip it. So I'm saying, care who you are, man. You just Bellator champ, NCAA champ. Said I just get pooped on, pissed on all day long.
You can relate to that.
Oh yeah.
No, only got Betty Ken.
Thank God she's out.
But do you think like with Cormier? I know we're gonna go. I think that sometimes you do have to, like you said. I know you can't wrestle, I'm taking you to
wrestle. Yeah. That wasn't quite the case with Stipe. Stipe can wrestle.
Stipe can wrestle. I think Cormier got a little edge on him there.
Oh, no doubt. He's
Coleman Scott for the Cowboys, that one shining moment here tonight. Now.
Oh, sorry. Keep going. I'm going to bring up one of the funniest things I've ever seen, Chang. This is before I even knew Phil Davis, right?
I already know what you're gonna bring up.
I'm watching.
Let me tell you. So Cormier, I think. I mean, obviously, in retrospect, he maybe should have wrestled a little bit more. But you don't really know that while you're in there. And I think
I can't
he
hear.
Was winning with the game plan that he had.
Yeah, but his coaches were yelling at him. Wrestle.
What's his name? Hold on, I didn't remember that. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah.
Why can't I hear anybody? Wean Dog, help.
Let me pull up this video, and then you guys can narrate. Because I guess if you're sharing the video, you can't Wean hear Dog. Anybody, I guess. He can't hear us, but...
Hold on one sec. Hold on.
Can you hear me?
Where am I?
I can hear you.
Hold on one sec. Wean Dog, help.
I'm trying to, but you can't hear nobody.
For some reason, I can't. It's like, hold on. Sorry about this. Hold on. Show speaker. Here we go. What's going on, Wean Dog? Hold on one sec. Zoom. What's going on? I'm going to stop.
Wait. Trump unveils plan to protect us from seniors? Can you click on that?
I can't hear anybody. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Hold on one sec.
This is
what I get for trying to be
old people be tripping sometimes.
All right. Stop share. Hello. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah,
we're here.
All right. Now you can hear me. Hold on. For some reason I still can't. Hold on. Ready? All right, now I could talk.
Yeah.
Okay, now you can hear me. All right. Wean Dog, can you do me a favor?
Yeah.
All right. There's an NCAA thing. So, all right, Shane, you got to see this. This is the funniest thing ever. So Phil Davis is in the NCAA finals, right? This is his whole life. He's worked for this. His entire life.
Hold on. Before you press play.
All right.
Let me just start off with this.
Okay.
So when you make it to the national finals, they'll get you in a room, do your interviews and everything else. And they really only have time for one question. And they said, well, just tell us something no one knows about you. And that's a weird question. You know, if no one knows it, I don't want you to know it. So it kind of puts me in a corner like, give me something everyone else hasn't heard. And something that you'd be willing to tell on ESPN on national television. Like, who keeps those kind of facts handy? Give me something that no one in the world has ever heard before and that you were comfortable airing on TV.
That's like, you know what?
All right, so.
Yeah.
Okay, so, all right. So instead of playing ball, okay, I'm watching NCAAs, right? I'm watching NCAAs, and I haven't watched NCAAs in a while, and I'm like, oh, I got to watch wrestling. This is awesome. Phil Davis is up. You know, it's a tight match. And this is – can you guys see right now?
Yeah.
All right.
He says intimidation starts at the weigh-ins. I don't care if I'm going to lose by 15 points.
Phil Davis.
You're going to wake up sore. He's very, very domestic also. Enjoys cooking and sewing.
Look.
So I like to sew. Every now and then I'll have a sewing circle at my house. Everybody brings their Singer magazines. and we just sit around with our machines and go to work.
You have a Singer magazine?
No, and I think this guy just likes to have fun, too, with everybody.
So that's like, what? So the NCAA finals.
On a call.
And he tells everybody that he likes sewing. Like, that's.
National television.
A national television. Like.
Stop sharing your screen.
Like, was that. That was like, I was like, huh? Like, everybody did like a double take. Like, what? Like, what?
That, I like sewing.
Yeah, my friends come over. We have our Singer Mac. We have our Singer things, and we just have a sewing meeting.
Yeah, that was unusual. That was an odd question, but.
Hey, well, I mean, what can I say? Well, hey, but so check it out. So, it was kind of funny because for whatever reason, bro, I was just tearing it up that season, and I blew out a hole in my shoes 3 times, right? And Penn State's sponsored by Nike, so all sportswear Nike everything, head to toe. And they only have 3 pairs of 14s, okay? That's all they order for the year. Nobody's ever going through 3 pairs of shoes. So at Big Tens, I blow out my last pair of Nikes. And so my coach is like, listen, no matter what we do, we cannot order shoes because they won't get here in time for nationals. So go down to the store, get whatever shoes you like. I'll pay for them. Just put them on my credit card, whatever. I don't even know what he said. Put them on your credit card. I reimburse, whatever. And we'll just go from there. He's like, try to get some Nikes, but if not, then, you know, I'll just deal with the administrators. So the shoes that I really liked were Kels. Your wife was buying. Kels Sanderson shoes. And obviously, Kels coaching for Iowa State.
Yeah.
And he has Asics. So I bought the shoes. I cut off the a couple of the Asics logos. It was real tedious. And so I eventually just sewed a patch onto my shoe.
You did actually sew.
So I did.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't a complete lie. But you didn't have parties. Nah. So it wasn't sewing parties with the wrestlers and stuff.
You know, you never know.
It was so funny. Never know. I was sitting
there. That's hilarious, though. Come on, man.
I was dying laughing. It was so random. And it was like, I think he's having fun with us.
Yeah, because they started laughing, too. They were like.
Yeah.
And then, and the fact that they're showing you the footage of you wrestling while you're saying that.
Right.
It was the best.
Cupcakes. I like cupcakes. Oh, he slams his neck to the ground. Like, yeah,
it was the best. That was like when I was like, I became an instant fan. I was like, oh my God, this dude is the funniest human being I've ever seen in my entire life.
The best part is half the people knew it was crap. They were like, oh God, what are you doing, Phil? The other half were like, oh man, that's kind of interesting.
What did your mom say?
My mom was like, you are a damn fool. Like, hey, so funny. So check this out. My mom just knew. She was like, you're a fool, Phil. Ed Ruth, right?
Yeah.
Ed Ruth's mom gave me like a whole sewing box. And to this day, I don't have the heart to ask her because, I mean, it's a beautiful box.
Did you feel bad taking it because you kind of fooled her?
Why? Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. I don't know if I tell her.
You gotta make
is she in her. On the joke? Is
no,
she in
not.
On the joke?
Absolutely not. She thinks that you like to sew and probably was like, what a sweet young man. That's so nice that he did that.
Yeah, yeah.
But she and a good seamstress.
Now you gotta sew her.
Yeah,
something.
But I tell you what.
Sew something to her for.
I tell you what, anytime I had a patch in my pants, I could fix that joker right up. I tell you what. Yo, she did get me right. She took great care of me.
By the way, talk to Ed Ruth because Ed Ruth has a. His upside is huge, but the fight IQ right now is not to where his potential is. Have you reached out to him?
Yeah. So Ed came down to San Diego. He trained here for about a year, and now he's back up at AKA. Yeah, me and Ed are super tight. We grew up in the same town. I knew Ed. I knew of Ed from not wrestling. like we've known each other that long.
Because he's so good. He just needs to kind of has that like too talented syndrome, huh?
No, you know, where I think he's at right now is, he kind of became a victim of too much success. Like he's extremely good. And just on being the ridiculous level of athlete that he is, he will beat most people. Now, where it becomes difficult is like the progression, because like a guy who's been in the sport 5 or 6 years, when Ed's been in the sport a year and a half, he will not last a full round. You understand? You have to have somebody.
Pico have that problem too, you think? Aaron Pico
has that problem. And it's, you know, it all it takes is for those guys, Ed and Aaron, to just mature a little bit more to be able to beat those top level guys. They, like, to me, their careers are set in stone. They're going to be champions.
I put them in the, almost like a Cron Gracie in the same camp as so good at like wrestling, we're so good at jujitsu, so good at that one thing that it's sort of like,
yeah.
You know, it gets frustrating to watch also because, but also they, you know, if they weren't Ed Roop and Aaron Pico, they might've spent more time in the LFA or some of these smaller organizations and developed. And then by the time they get to Bellator, they're 15-1 or 15-2 versus.
Well, that's what I'm saying, because they are Ed Ruth and Aaron Pico. They absolutely cannot. Like, nobody will take fights against these guys. Nobody take fights against these guys. Even if they did take fights against them, they'd be the quickest fights ever.
So Shane, what we're talking about, these two guys were like, I think Ed Ruth was like a 3-time national champion or something. And then Aaron Pico was the best wrestler in high school in America. So Bellator,
back when that used to mean something, so 3-time national champ.
So Bellator like snags him up. Bellator snags him up, and they put him up against these guys who are like savvy veterans, and they get into like crazy kickboxing matches because fighting is their new toy in some ways, but they're not fighting smart, and they lose fights that they probably should have won had they just relied on what they're good at. It seemed like certain guys, like it seemed like guys like Chad Mendes or the Team Alpha Male guys were really good at, okay, let's get 7 or 8, 9, 10 wins under your belt before you start kickboxing and throwing punches.
Sure.
And whereas some of these other camps are like, fuck it, let's see what happens, you know? And
I think that's dumb. I think go with what you really, if you go with what you're good at.
The problem is saying these guys are so good.
Here's the thing. At the same time, the fans ultimately decide your value as a fighter, and all it takes is for
John Fitch or something,
right? John Fitch, freaking bro, he was working cats, and Dana said he was boring. Now everybody's like, you're boring, John. He didn't lose in like, I mean, he went in like a 13 fight streak. Like,
so it's I just think that sucks that the fans can have that much sway, and it's, you know, Dana decides.
Well, they don't though. Well, they don't. The good thing about Bellator or PFL is they created a tournament.
Yeah, so
it doesn't matter what the fans think. If you win the $1 million, you win $1 million.
You win,
right?
Like, it doesn't. It matters. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, you could have a guy, you know, Islam Kabilov from Dagestan that has 9 followers on Instagram or Twitter, and everyone hates the way he fights. But as long as he keeps winning, it does, you know. So that's
Well, it's not that Bellator does not care. You know, and I'm not trying to say, they don't care. No, they do. They absolutely do. They want to put out the best content and the best fighters and the best fights. But at the same time, they do. I believe they try to step back away from some of the political nonsense and just let the fighter do this.
Well, no, because if it was up to Bellator though, the way the other system is, Diego Lima beating would not advance more than MVP. Diego Lima beating MVP. MVP is a last year fan favorite guy. Everyone's gonna fucking run out the MVP fight. No, it's just Diego Lima, but this is not. he's not going to get that same attention. Doesn't matter.
Well, yeah. I mean, MVP is the full package. He's freaking – he's funny. He's flashy. He's fly. He fights good.
Yeah.
He dresses well. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he does it all. You know, my bro does – he does it all.
Yeah,
he does it all. He really does.
But he loses to Lima, and he's out of the tournament. You know, whereas
– right.
Whereas – I hate to say it, but in the UFC, if he loses to Lima, Lima might next spot be a pre-card on a fight night, and they might put MVP as the main card on
right.
the pay-per-view. It's just,
well, right. that's what the UFC is, but you should notice, Phil, you're on four different highlight reels, like of highlights of knockouts. Like the nice. Top ones that got like millions of views. You're on four of them.
You should have seen his Penn State, nice. Sex videos. He was like,
now that one, top 10.
He was.
but no, you're on four. I was like, I clicked on one. I went, oh shit, he's on this one. And then it linked to another one. And I was like, oh shit, he's on this one. Like, I was like,
we took Glover Teixeira and was like, Fedor slamming him. I mean, you were.
Oh, just, yeah.
On the highlight, yeah, man. I was surprised because when I first clicked on it, I thought, okay, that's one. Then they kept going. Then I was like, oh shit, here's another one. Here's another one. I was like, wow.
You know what I really admire about Glover Teixeira? He's one of the few fighters that like gained respect for me when he lost. Like I think he takes everybody serious, but he was like, after that fight, he was like, man, like you're a good fighter, and we talked backstage a little bit, and he's a very unique guy. He's a very unique guy. He's a good fighter, and he's a solid dude. That if anybody tells me Glover Teixeira is their favorite fighter, I'm like, I could get behind that.
Yeah, but
he's a fighter.
But you've always been nice to everybody. I mean, the only person that I think you got under their skin was John Jones, was when you were trying to fight John Jones. And then he was so funny. Like, he would do a face-off against Anthony Johnson and go up to John Jones and try to fight him. I think Jones really got annoyed by you. It seemed like he was the one guy that got pissed at you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But we got a little history there.
But you know what?
You guys trained together, though, right? Didn't you guys train together mm-hmm. back in New York?
Yeah.
Jones was kind of a dick. Let's be real. He's kind of a dick.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I would say, no, I mean, people are – you can be a fan of his and still think him as a guy is a – he's a dick. He could be a great fighter. You can still be a dick.
Well, I think he might be a sociopath.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think he might be a sociopath. Like
really? You think so? Yeah, of course.
There's something that, like – I just think it's really good that he found fighting in his life.
Like,
otherwise, yeah. It might be like Dexter, like John Joe.
He'd be eating baby brains.
No, yeah.
The thing that is good is when I watch your fights, you don't go with that. Like Conor McGregor talks a lot of shit. There's a lot of fighters talk like we were just talking about Perry. Perry's out of his fucking mind, talks a lot of shit. You don't do that. It seems like you focus on let's be fighters. It's not a lot of animosity. You're like, how do I dissect this guy, beat this guy this way? Then afterwards,
right.
Good fight. You know.
Right.
Right. Whereas some people are being assholes, like, and it's not even needed. Because I don't like that. I actually like when people do that. I like when they go, good fight, thank you, you know.
Two things. Like, the first thing, when I decided to leave the sport of wrestling and get into MMA, you know, it's a lot different. And just at a spiritual level, I wasn't sure if I could hit someone, beat someone, and be okay with it. And part of that, the talk I had with myself is, you know, you have to put yourself in a place where you honestly don't wish harm on someone. You are competing and you're thankful for the opportunity. And you know, you wish the best for the person. But, you know, kind of along with that, you know, I don't want to be involved in a sport where I literally have to beat the man up verbally and then also have to beat him up physically. Like, imagine a sport where I'm going to beat the hell out of you, but before I do that, I must verbally beat you, too. Yeah, it just seems unnecessary.
Right. It's like
it seems unnecessary.
Yeah, I'm already gonna fight you. We're already gonna punch each other in the face. That's enough.
But before that, you just have to make sure that everyone knows that you actually hate each other. Like, but that's, this is all fantasy. Like, you know, I don't hate this guy. Like,
were you friends with Colby Covington at all back in the day?
Mm-mm.
You guys didn't run into wrestling circles or?
Mm-mm.
What about Askren?
Yeah, Askren's cool.
I was telling Shang before you came on that I thought Ben Askren, if he would have came right from Bellator to the UFC, like in that time, he would have been a champion in the UFC. I just think it was too much. And then I think that 2 years off, the sport really hurt him.
Yeah, for sure.
So, he barely, it was a weird fight with Robbie Lawler.
But that was after.
Yeah.
That was after. It was still weird. And then with Street Jesus, starched him. No, that's his nickname. That is his nickname.
Phil, what are your thoughts?
He did starch him. It was the fastest.
I want to hear Phil's thoughts. Phil.
Go ahead.
Well, which one?
On whether or not Ben Askren could have been champion pre 1FC Ben Askren.
Ben Askren is an incredibly mentally strong person. He really is. Like, I think if he had, he paused after college to do a run at the Olympics. And had he gone straight to mixed martial arts and devoted all of his time to that, I think we would have got a completely different guy, a very, very well-rounded guy. But Ben, man, he's very dedicated. He's very dedicated. He's just, you know, what I watch when I watch Last Dance, what I gather from that is that Jordan wasn't liked by necessarily everyone. I think that's an understatement.
Yeah.
The guys who liked him were mostly on his team and not everybody. It was just a couple of guys. You know what I'm saying? Not Pippen all the time.
Yeah.
Not Rodman hardly at all.
Not Horace Grant.
What's that?
Horace Grant hated him.
Not Horace Grant. You know, Ben Askren could very well be that guy, but he's the type of strong personality that will sacrifice every relationship in his life to be freaking amazing at something.
Right.
You know, Ben Askren, he's very strong. He's a very strong personality. And I see that in him and I respect it. Like I like him because of that.
You like him because of that? I think he stepped over the line a lot of times when he talks shit.
Yeah, but that was a later, that was a different Ben Askren. That was
that's the one I know. And I know.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about.
He stepped over the line a couple, or Jorge, he stepped over the line a couple times. He
was a different guy.
I would fight you in the street if you said that. It's like he said, if I see him at Whole Foods, I'm going to piece him up. He was saying really dumb shit.
Now, Ben Askren said he signed the contract to grapple Dylan Dennis. Who wins in that grappling match?
Oh.
So, by the way, Shang, Dylan Dennis is Conor McGregor's jiu-jitsu coach, who is, like, talking shit about
it's everybody. His coach, but it's also his training partner.
Everybody in the world. He's, like, he's 2-0 in MMA, but talking shit to John Jones. He's got some hot Instagram model who's naked. He's taking the
hype machine. He's a hype machine, and he's
not. We don't know yet because he's only had two fights. And jiu-jitsu, he's really good. He's not elite. Like, he lost to Gary Tonin 3 times. I would say he's elite. He lost to Jake Shields. He's better than
– he didn't lose to, like, Scruggs.
Yeah, he lost to the best guys in jiu-jitsu. But he got kicked out of Renzo Gracie's gym for being an asshole, I guess, back in – or no, from Marcelo Garcia's chant. And he's a guy who's always making – he's wearing these – he's constantly putting up pictures on Instagram and Facebook saying, I'm the best ever. Fuck everybody. You guys all suck.
Sounds like a hype machine to me.
Uh,
so,
Anyway,
it sounds like he's going to run into that one person, and it's going to be the end. And because I think that they can't really back up their shit after that, man. I think that look what happened with Ben after. It's like hype machine.
He wasn't hype, but Ben has accomplished much more. I mean, he accomplished much more.
Before.
He was 19-0. I mean, this guy's 2-0.
I know. But what I'm saying is, when it came to the UFC. Personally, he eked out the fight with Lawler. I don't care what nobody says. He eked it out. It was an eke out. Wasn't no dominant.
I didn't follow him. Anyway, what are your thoughts on Dylan Danis, Ween Dog?
I think he's good at jujitsu. And I think if he's going against Ben Askren in a wrestling match.
No, I think it's jujitsu, right?
Is it jujitsu?
It's jujitsu.
Oh, then he's probably going to beat Ben Askren. Because you got to remember – Ben Askren's got that Wisconsin jiu-jitsu. You know what I'm saying? That's a little bit different than whatever voodoo Dylan Danis shit is doing. You know? It's a lot. It's a big different game.
Worship voodoo shit he does.
Yeah. It's a different game. So I think Dylan Danis probably wins.
Now, you heard that, didn't you? He said Wisconsin jiu-jitsu.
I understand what he's saying, but it's still high-level jiu-jitsu. I mean,
it is, for sure.
Training with, like,
but you minimized it by saying it like – you made it sound like – yeah, it's just that Wisconsin jiu-jitsu.
But I understand what you're saying.
Upper New York jiu-jitsu. What is that? Albany jiu-jitsu? You made it sound so bad.
I'm sorry, but I mean, that's the truth. You know, I don't know how many grandmaster black belts are in Wisconsin.
Okay. So it makes it not high level because it's bad.
Well, that one guy from Bellator that, like, had brain damage, that guy that, you know what I'm talking about, he was like Rafael Lovato Jr. I think he's like from Iowa or something. So
he's like the best guy in the country.
Yeah, so it doesn't matter. I mean, from Iowa, I don't think it matters.
I think it doesn't matter really. You could say Wisconsin. They could be from wherever. It doesn't matter.
I understand what you're saying though, but I think anyway. Listen, thank you, Phil Davis, for coming on the show. Shang, you make me laugh every.
Guys.
I can't.
That's crazy. We've been agreeing more than we ever have before on Fighters.
Absolutely. Ween Dog, thank you, man.
Of course.
You guys,
you're insane, by the way. I just want you to know that.
Oh, I know. Trust me. Thank you. Sure.
Thank you guys so much. Take care. All right.
Түүний сонс тө хөгжим дөрвөлаа. Дараа ч дуутан дөрвөлаа мөрөө.